Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Back to Partido Partido podcast, the English-speaking podcast about all things Atleti. Welcome to our final podcast of the year. What a year it has been. It's our first year. We did start the podcast early in February, but it has been an amazing ride. You know, we just can't thank you guys enough for all the support we've had throughout the year. And this comes at the closing moment of quite a month for Atletico, not for the right reasons, but we're here to talk about it. And joining me is the amazing Michael. You might know him from Twitter as Spanish Football Analytics. How are you doing, Michael?
I'm really good, thank you. Just recording this after the festive season, which is quite big in the UK, so I'm feeling good. New Year's Eve, been a pretty crazy month for all things Atletico. Kind of, you had the kind of Porto result, then the four losses in the league, 10 years of Simeone, so much going on, and there's so much to get into.
Great, so let's start right from the top, and let's start with the latest match, Atletico's game against Granada. It was an improvement over the previous matches, but Atletico still couldn't get a result and got another loss. The fourth loss of the month in La Liga, the first time it has happened since 2003, obviously the first time under Cholo. What were your thoughts about the game, Michael?
Yeah, I think, obviously when you put it like that, four losses in a row in the league, that's quite bad. But I think you've got to take the positives. I think that Atletico looked a bit more comfortable against Granada. I thought that definitely did enough to win the game. I thought Joao Felix as well was really good. His first goal, it's just incredible. Like the way he flicks it around him, then runs 25 yards. Like, beautiful. He could have had a hat-trick. He hit the post, disallowed goal. So that's a positive. Obviously, that's been kind of neutered by his positive COVID test. Just seems like we can't win. But I think the kind of recurring theme with me in these kind of four games is that it's kind of like sort of individual errors that are letting us down. I felt like with Granada's first goal, we were just poor in transition. And the second goal, I think it comes straight from Felix hitting the post, straight down the other end of the pitch, and then Condogbia leaves Molina onside. Obviously, Condogbia not being a natural centre-back, you could say that kind of plays into it. So, and obviously the story of individual errors was very evident in the derby and the Seville game and against Real Mallorca. So I'm not too worried. I think that these errors can be can go once kind of ideas about the squad and the starting 11 become much more clearer as players come back. But yeah, you could tell that we're missing Stefan Savic and Jose Maria Jimenez, I think.
Yeah, obviously the best two defenders are out injured, and the only others are Hermoso, which his defending has never really been his strongest point. Yeah. His ball progression is usually the reason he's starting, and Felipe, which has had a disastrous season so far. Although it has to be noted that. In the last few matches, he has played a lot better than he used to be. And obviously, Kondogbia playing as a centre-back to cover for the two injured centre-backs. We can obviously say that part of the reason why Atleti's defense has struggled so much so far this season is because of the injuries for Savic and Jimenez. But even when they were both starting, we did see quite a few mistakes from both players. Now, obviously, the individual mistakes have been present even in Atleti's wins this season. It feels like so many of the players are having problems with their concentration, and even Simeone said it after one of the losses. I think it was after the Sevilla game. There are so many instances where one player you just think that he has to do better. Obviously, I did talk about Jimenez making quite a few of these. What do you think of those mistakes, and what do you think of Simeone's comments about them?
Yeah, I think obviously he knows his players much more better than we do. I think that one thing that I was talking with Mehdi Hassan and Charlie Tooley, who are both on Twitter, is they were kind of saying that kind of maybe this was before the season started, so this was kind of looking ahead. They're like, maybe let's go become more complacent, kind of second season syndrome. And I kind of like push back against the idea because it's quite hard to prove that. Like, how do you get into a player's mind? But I think if you kind of look at the results, you can kind of say there has been some of that. Obviously, it's really hard to prove. But I think even when you look at, the captain, Koke, has been... It's just a shadow of how good he was last season. He's still been decently in terms of his passing, but he looks so off the pace. And I think against Real Madrid, it was really kind of exemplified where he... His pass went directly to Real Madrid, and then they went on to score. And in terms of him setting the standard, that hasn't quite been there this season. But I don't know, I think it might be a kind of squad issue rather than maybe individual mistakes, because just general performers who are doing really well this season, whether that be to COVID, injury, lack of rhythm, lack of course continuity of other players around them, haven't been producing the same results. You kind of pointed out Hermoso. I don't think his progressive passing has been as impressive as it was last season. Probably that's partly down to the people he's playing with. Like, him playing with Felipe and Kondogbia might not be the same as how comfortable he is with Savic and Jimenez. And I think you could even see that with kind of Carrasco as well. I think, he was exceptional last season. He hasn't quite reached the heights of last season as well. Llorente as well, as to play right back. He's been out sometimes with muscle niggles. Hasn't quite been the same. Same with Trippier as well. Maybe Koke, Carrasco, Llorente and Trippier. There's kind of four players who were absolutely key to Atletico's ball progression and their attacking play last season. They just haven't been at the same level as they were last season. So that's going to see an impact. I don't know what your thoughts are on it, Tara.
Well, I mean, I think you've said it all. So many of the players just can't match their form. The sort of performances they were able to achieve last season. Obviously, we did say quite a few times that they were, playing their level last season, but the. You don't expect a downfall of this margin. Let's forget about last season. Looking at the current squad, despite how unbalanced it is, you'd still expect the players to be fighting for the league instead of, you know, being fifth in at the midpoint of the season. And yeah, it just it's just quite a weird you know, quite a weird position that the team finds themselves in. But you know, I think you know, I have said it that many of the players you feel like they have been on poor form, obviously this season, and I just don't really think that they will continue like this for the rest of the season. Now, obviously, Koke, you did talk about him, and he's absolutely crucial to Simeone's system. Playing in a 3-5-2. He's the one really connecting the defense with the attack, and you know, doing all the dirty work, and playing without a defensive midfielder. For that, Koke has to be in stellar form, and we just haven't really seen that from him this season. But a blessing and a curse, he has tested positive for COVID-19, and he will, you know, Simeone has been forced to give him a rest now. So hopefully we do see the Koke of old now after the after he returns from this quarantine.
Yeah, I think you're definitely right. I'm not saying that these players can't get to the level that they got to last season. I think it's just the kind of conditions that the squad is in, you know, injury absences, COVID absences, imbalances has just meant that the conditions haven't been quite there. So for example, like you said, Koke is no longer playing of a holding midfielder. He's having to do a lot of stuff that maybe if Kondogbia was playing in midfield, he would not have to do. Or maybe if he was playing, say if Trippier was playing at right wing back and Llorente was next to him and Depaul slash Lamar, then less onus would be on Koke to do the running because obviously he'd have Llorente next to him. So like, obviously there's been individual errors, but they have not been helped by the fact that just injuries and COVID absences have kind of hit the squad quite badly. And I think there's like a little bit of unluckiness as well. Like, if you look at the table, you kind of see that Atletico have conceded, I think it's something like 22 goals, but like the XG suggests they should be conceding kind of 10 fewer than that. And that's just kind of, I guess they've just been a bit unlucky in that sense. And they're kind of, and Oblak as well has kind of had a slow start to the season. His kind of post shot XG minus goals. Prevent goals against, which kind of shows how many goals he prevents a game, has gone down by like 0.5 per 90, which is quite a big drop for a team to take, especially considering how important he's been in the last few seasons. That's not me saying that Oblak has lost it. It's just, you know, progress isn't linear. He'll get back to that, but that'll take an impact. And you know, I'm not too worried yet. I think it will come through. I think the squad's got quality. You know, I think Simeone knows the players that we will get top four. But right now, I don't blame people for looking at the January transfer window and thinking maybe we should get XYZ player to help us, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, you raise a very good point here. And, you know, I very much agree with you that, you know, I do expect the squad to improve a lot in the second half of the season. But, you know, with the injuries present and, you know, the lack of depth in quite a few positions, do you think a good transfer window in January would help Atleti solve their issues?
I think the big issue with the transfer for the summer transfer window for the fans was the kind of general imbalance, which is going to be quite hard to address in a January window. I think a lot of people were quite annoyed at Perez going to Udinese and then kind of Atletico bringing in two second strikers to add to the two they already had. So I think it might be hard to address that in a January transfer window. I think it kind of depends what happens with Trippier. I think if they can get a good fee from Newcastle, then I would not be against taking that. I think while Trippier was excellent last season and he was, you know, right back of the season in La Liga, no doubt, he has not been quite at that level this season, and his contract does expire next season, so this is going to be one of the last chances to cash in on him for a decent value anyway. So yeah, I think I've seen a few people linking Atleti with, you know, David Garcia of Osasuna as a kind of centre-back option, you know, maybe a squad option who could fill in, so you have your primary first freeze Hermoso, Jimenez and Savage, but given Jimenez's injuries, you have the option to bring in Garcia, Felipe, etc. I think that could be interesting. But yeah, I think most of it will be sort of targeted towards getting either a kind of a steady centre-back they could bring in January or saving it till the summer and seeing what they could do. Because I think the summer will bring more opportunities to reshape the squad. If you know what I mean, like I think there's some deadwood that wouldn't probably go in January, like Hector Herrera. I don't think he's someone who needs to be moved on, but the chance of him being moved on in January are quite slim. I think I don't really know the situation around his contract. But I don't know, what would you want Atletico to do to strengthen their position ahead of the second half of the season in January?
Starting with the point you raised about Herrera, his contract expires this summer, so it'll be Atleti's last chance to sell him this January. And he has really been...
Hopefully he goes.
Yeah, he has been linked with Roma. So I don't know how much they're willing to pay, but it can't be much since obviously he'll be free in the summer. I definitely am not against selling him. Like he's definitely a decent squad option, but this is the last chance to sell him. So I think you'd agree with me there.
I'd completely support selling him, and I don't think there's. Don't want to be too dismissive of him, because obviously he has shown that he can be good for Atletico in some games, but I don't think he is quite needed, especially with the addition of Depaul in the summer. Obviously, they're not quite the same player, but they kind of play a similar role, supporting Koke. Then hopefully, if we signed a centre-back, then Kondogbia would no longer be stuck at the back, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, of course. As for Trippier, I absolutely agree with you. He's 30-something, 32, I think. His contract expires in 2023, so this will be Atleti's also last chance to get a very good fee for him. And Newcastle are going all out on him this January. They have him at the top of their signing list. So the rumored fee has been between 30 and 40 million, which.
Take that for a 32-year-old right back, you've got to take that, I think.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And you just take it and run. And as good as Trippier is, and as good as he has been for Atleti, that's just and like you can't refuse that. It's not like what United were offering in the summer, like 15 million or something. Mm-hmm. This is a very excellent fee, and it recovers everything Atleti paid for him. If Atleti do have a replacement lined up, I very much support this sale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think like Trippier was excellent last season. I was one of his big fans. I think obviously him being from the UK as well and going to Spain kind of linked towards him more. He did very well to settle in Spain, but he's 32 years old. If he was 26, then I'd be rejecting that offer and giving him the chance to make that right back position his for at least 5 years. But he's not getting any younger or any quicker, and Atletico's defense is quite slow. We often get caught in transition a lot. Sometimes Trippier can be defensively errant in his sort of positioning and errors. So I think the chance to, it sounds like I'm almost kind of selling a dream here, the chance to cash in him and get a younger, more defensively astute, while also quite progressive right back would be quite nice. But obviously that's going to be quite hard. It depends on what happens with Trippier, really.
Yeah. There haven't really been a lot of rumors recently about any replacement, but I think in October we did get some news about Lille being in a tough financial situation. So it was said that they were open to selling Zeki Celik. I think that's how I pronounce his name. Their Turkish right back. So and Atleti were after him in the summer. So I think looking at Atleti's activity recently, I think he'd be the most likely replacement. And he was excellent for them last season, as they incredibly won the French league. So Yeah, I don't really know that much about them. Like, I didn't really watch Lille all that much, but I just hear a lot of positive comments about him. So if he's the chosen one to be the heir for Trippier's throne, then I actually support the Trippier sale.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like, Celik, I haven't really seen much of him in person, but, like, looking at his stuff, he looks like he's pretty defensively astute. It looks like he's more than happy to bring the ball out in terms of passing and carrying, which is more than what Trippier did. Trippier was kind of more a kind of progressive passer. He wouldn't carry the ball as much, so that's quite useful that Celik is kind of a bit of both. It's quite useful to have. And, of course, you know, hopefully we can sort something. I'm sure that they'll have things lined up. To replace Trippier, because he will need replacing, and we have missed his form this season. You can tell that, and you know, obviously Llorente has been good at right back, but he's just not a right back and has kind of limited him. So it'd be nice to find someone who could release Llorente.
Yeah, and one of the greatest things to witness this year was the golden connection between Llorente and Trippier. The brilliant weighted passes from Trippier and Llorente's vital speed, those combined for some very, very nice moments down the right wing. And it was, I think you'll agree with me there, that it was the side that carried Atleti to their title win last season.
Yeah, definitely. I think, especially in the first half of the season before Trippier's suspension, you know, it was, you could almost, like, every single time they got into position, every single time Llorente was in the half space and Trippier was on the right wing, you knew exactly where the ball was going, and so did the defenders, but they just couldn't do anything to stop it because Trippier's weight of pass was so nice, and Llorente's pace and acceleration was just ridiculous. I can't quite remember when the game was. I think it must have been, it probably was late last year, to be fair, but I'm still going to say it because it was just an amazing goal. I think Trippier lofted the ball over the defence on the counter-attack and Llorente just ran onto it, and it was just almost kind of clockwork. And I think you're definitely right to point out the fact that they were the kind of more effective wing for Atletico last season, and we have missed that. Obviously, that it also doesn't help the fact that that Carrasco, who was excellent for his last season as well, just hasn't been able to replicate that form. But I'm sure he'll come round eventually.
Yeah, the goal you talked about, I think it was against Valladolid, and it was in late 2020. But it does get the point across. So that's everything about Trippier. Now, obviously, if he does leave, we definitely will get a replacement. Journalist Matteo Moreto did talk about that. But for other positions, what would be your ideal transfer window? And obviously, keeping in mind that Atleti obviously won't spend a lot this January, but what's the most important position to address, in your opinion?
Wow. I think maybe to be the boring answer, I think maybe finding a centre-back. I think I've already said this in the pod, but it's worth reiterating again, a centre-back that can cover proficiently. Because right now, Atletico only has four senior centre-backs, which isn't great when you play a back three. So I think that would be number one priority for me. I think it really depends what happens with Suarez. You know, let's see how that looks in the summer. If we need to find a replacement for him, I don't really know what the situation is there. I think in terms of central midfield, I'm looking good. I think we haven't been looking as good because Konoplya has been limited to the back. So I think once he's released into midfield, then things might look a bit more comfortable. Obviously, we've got plenty of options there in terms of Lamar, Depaul, Llorente, Koke, Konoplya. That's a more than solid foundation to build upon. But yeah, for me, it would have to be centre-back, which is kind of the boring answer because everyone's looking at it. But I think it does kind of show when the squad is so imbalanced, kind of front-loaded. I don't know how you feel. Which positions would you be prioritising, or are you taking a similar line?
Yeah, I mean, you did say it is the boring answer, but it is the most obvious one. Four centre-backs is not much for a side that plays three at the back. But with two of them being very injury prone, that's a disaster. And we did see it. It has been a disaster for Atleti. Obviously a center back would do wonders. Atleti have been linked with two center backs. You did talk about David Garcia from Osasuna. The other being Cesar Azpilicueta from Chelsea. And he has been linked with Barcelona as well, so it remains to be seen what his situation will be like. If Atleti don't get a... aren't planning to get a center back now, I think the next most important position to address would be the defensive midfielder. Seeing as Kondogbia... while he did have some very amazing games, he has had, you know, a few lapses of concentration here and there. He did make a few mistakes, which have been costly. So I do like Kondogbia, and I do expect him to remain as a squad player. If Koke doesn't recover his form and we have to rely on Kondogbia, I just don't really see him as the most reliable option there. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I think you're right to point out that Kondogbia had some very good games last season. I think that he didn't quite have... I think towards the end of the season, he started to garner Simeone's trust more, but it wasn't quite there. And... if we do lose Herrera, what does that leave us with? Just one holding midfielder, which, you know, if Kondogbia is injured, then we have the same issue that Koke's isolated by himself. So maybe we need to reinforce in a kind of younger kind of squad option to rotate with Kondogbia and eventually replace him. I don't really know who that could be. I think it's going to be quite hard to fit Atletico's budget, depending on who leaves and goes. But I think that you're definitely right to say that that kind of maybe in the longer term, especially in the summer with Herrera going, most likely needs to be looked at before it runs into a major issue, if you know what I mean. Because we quite could easily come next season just have Kondogbia, then he gets injured, then we have no holding midfielders, and then we're back to square one with Koke being outmatched physically against the bigger teams, which is not ideal.
I think that's all for January. We can be helpful that the Atleti do get a few decent players to solve some of the issues that they've had. But ultimately, you know, we do expect them to not really go all out this January and wait for the summer where, more good deals can be found then, since obviously teams aren't very willing to let go of their best players in the middle of the season. So we'll have to wait and see what Atleti's plans are. We haven't really, as I said, we haven't really had a lot of rumors. But a very hot rumor we saw emerge yesterday was the news about Morata being linked with Barcelona. And obviously they are trying to get him this January. They are trying to find an agreement with Juve, who have to find a replacement first. If they do agree and cancel their loan, Then Barcelona will have to find a deal with Atletico to get him. And as for the personal terms, apparently they have been agreed between Barcelona and Morata. So it comes down, and obviously Juve are trying to find a replacement. So it comes down whether Atleti will agree to selling Morata right now or if they don't. What are your thoughts about this, Michael?
I think obviously ideally everyone would have wanted him to kind of go to Juventus, you know, no direct competition for Barcelona. I think I can't quite remember the fee that he could go for, but I think it's around 30-35 million euros, which I can't quite remember. I might be getting that completely wrong though. But yeah, I think that while, you know, while Morata has agreed personal terms of Xavi, as has been reported in Marca and the Spanish press, there's still a long way to go for this deal to happen. You know, Juventus need to get a replacement, which is quite hard to see happening in January, but, you know, weirder things have happened. I think in terms of, if you just take this deal in isolation, you know, getting rid of Morata for a good fee, I think that's probably in Atletico's interest. I think that his course with Atletico is probably run right now. I don't think that there's... I personally, while I think he's still a very good player, I think he could be useful for a side, and I was very defensive of him in the Euros, I just don't think that he's the type of player that Atletico kind of need at this point. So any opportunity to cash in on him is positive, although it is to Barcelona, which isn't ideal. But I don't know, maybe because it is to Barcelona, we can get a few extra zeros, given their kind of financial mismanagement over the last years.
I mean, crossing my fingers that this is what's going to happen. And Matteo Alemani is there, so I don't know how much that's possible, but you know, we can hope, I guess. Yeah. There have been news, and I'm not sure what the source for this news was, but that Simeone isn't very willing to let him go to Barcelona right now, since obviously he'll be strengthening a rival. Some people thought that was, you know, a bit weird, since you know, we haven't really had the best. We haven't really seen the best of Morata in Rojo Blanco, but I think his position is, you know, very justified, seeing as how Morata, while not the greatest around, is still better than all the strikers they have currently, Barcelona. And you know, if Xavi, you know, is going all out on him right now, you'd expect him to find, you know, to have a plan ready to get the best out of him. And Enrique was, I think, the only other manager currently which is able to get the best out of him. So, you know, I think Simeone's position is very justified, and I do understand where he's coming from. But I think if Barcelona are, you know, going to go ahead and you know, pay the 35 million Atleti are asking for, then you know, I just don't see a reason Atleti should reject that. And you know, I mean, they need to invest that money in finding a replacement and, you know, covering for other positions. But you know, I do think this is a golden chance for Atleti to cash in on Morata.
Yeah, I think, you know, looking at it objectively, Morata has not been in his best club form the last few seasons. He's 29 years old. He's not getting any younger. He's already had not the best time in Rojo Blanco, so I think it makes sense to cash in on him. It's just a shame that it might be Barcelona, which might put off Atletico, but I think that I would not be against selling him for 35 million euros to Barcelona. It's a very nice fee for an aging player who hasn't been in good form. So I think, yeah, you've got to take that money and kind of invest in the squad, like how you would do it with the Trippier money, and hopefully in summer we can properly get some kind of sensible transfers for the kind of centre back position, defensive midfielder, to address the underlying issues that the kind of this squad has, that kind of have shone up in this season, I think.
Brilliant. So yeah, I think we have been in accordance for throughout the podcast today, and yeah, I think those are the main talking points addressed about the transfer window. It opens in a few hours, so you know, as I said, we don't really have a lot of rumors. So it remains to be seen whether Atleti aren't working on a lot of signings, or if it's just they have been working in secret, which you know, has they were doing in the summer. So yeah, we'll just have to wait and see. In the meantime, we have the game against Rayo Vallecano, which I mean, I'm still not sure if that's gonna get delayed or not. We haven't really heard anything about it, but Rayo were trying to to postpone the game, seeing as how they have 17 positive cases in their squad. Atleti obviously have 5, and those are Simeone, Griezmann, Koke, Herrera, and João Felix. I mean, I don't know. I didn't really check the positive cases for Rayo Vallecano. I'm not sure how many of them are from the starting lineup and how many are, you know, just reserve players. So let's look at it from, you know, an isolated perspective. Rayo have been absolutely incredible this season. What are your thoughts about them, Michael?
Yeah, it's a revelation. I remember their first two games happening, and I said to Charlie and Mehdi, who obviously I mentioned earlier, is like, oh, this is just... I just kind of said the kind of typical confirmation bias. Oh, this is pretty indicative of a club who isn't obviously at the quality. They got thumped by La Real, and I can't remember the second team, but yeah, they got thumped. And then the next game, they thumped Granada, and it was just immense. They're so fun to watch, and it really has been a revelation. And they're sitting fourth place. You know, if you told us, you know, this time last year that the second placed Madrid team, I think you could probably class Real Vallecano as a Madrid team, given they're from the kind of outer south Madrid. You know, that the second placed Madrid team in Spain in La Liga would not be Atletico, it'd be Rayo. It'd just be kind of a crazy idea, because obviously they kind of entered the Segunda season was they got through the playoffs, it was very last minute, and then they just completely bossed it. Like, they've completely guaranteed their survival. And, you know, Oscar Trejo, the Argentinian captain, 33-year-old, has just been playing amazingly. I think he's leading the assists for the league of 8. You know, he's someone who has been very strong in the kind of progressive passing metrics and dribbling and creative metrics. And they've obviously got a familiar face in Radamel Falcao leading for them. So yeah, it really has just been a great story. And yeah, honestly, I mean, if we took these COVID cases out of it, which obviously we can't, say if the squad, each squad was fit, I wouldn't be surprised if they really did give Atletico a good game and beat them. But I think with 17 cases, you're either looking at Atletico hopefully winning or the game being put off. It's really hard to say, though, because I don't think we know the details about who's actually got those 17 positive cases. But yeah, your thoughts on Rayo, Tara?
I mean, as you mentioned, it's just absolutely incredible. They started the year 2021 in sixth place in Segunda, and now they finish it in fourth in the league above Atleti. And that's, I mean, you look at that stat, and you just, it's unbelievable. It's absolutely incredible, and we haven't really seen a lot of that in La Liga. Obviously, Getafe being one of the you know, one of the closest examples for that. But you know, just looking at the work Iraola has done, it's absolutely stunning. And his style is also, you know, very easy on the eye. He has been able to get the best out of his players, and obviously, seeing Radamel Falcao performing for them. I mean, it's hard to hate Rayo. It's hard not to feel, you know, impressed by them. It's hard not to wish them the best. But Atleti are very desperate for a win right now. So, you know, hopefully the players aren't very sympathetic at the moment.
Yeah. Maybe a 17 positive case of Rayo could be the kind of team that Atletico needs to play. But even then, you just got to hope the game goes ahead, I guess. I wouldn't be surprised if it was put off, given how bad COVID is just everywhere at the moment. I think I saw something, can't remember if it was today or yesterday, something like 200 players in the first and second divisions have tested positive for COVID, which is just crazy, high numbers in Spain. So I guess we'll see how the game, if it actually goes ahead, but I think it'll be a really fun game if it does go ahead, to be honest.
Yeah, obviously we'll. Atleti do have, obviously we only have two available midfielders, and those are Depaul and Lemar. Kondogbia, who has been playing as a centre back, could be available to play as a midfielder as well, seeing as how Jimenez is finally back from his injury. So Atleti do have a very solid team playing. It'll just come down to what Trejo can bring to the table, and if they're gonna play with their reserve players or if they're gonna play with some of the starters in there. So I just don't see the game going ahead with so many cases being present and putting the other players as well at the risk of contacting it. So I do think it'll get delayed, but if it doesn't, then I do think Atleti have a very golden chance to get back to winning ways and to get some positivity and confidence back. Also, Rayo, obviously, I'm not sure if that's going to be the case, throughout the second half of the season. But currently, looking at them, they're a rival for top four. So if it does go ahead, then yeah, Atleti, it's a must-win game, and hopefully they go out there and play like it is one.
Yeah, it's a big game.
Okay, so this covers everything for the month of December, and this covers everything for the year. So coming to a close, we'll just talk about some of our favorite matches and moments of the year. Michael, I think you have an answer in mind. Can you please give us what it is?
Yeah, I kind of have two answers. One of them is the pretty obvious one. I think you can either choose two moments from the title-winning campaign of the last few weeks, or you can either choose Suarez's goal against Osasuna, which was just immense. Just one-on-one moment to keep us in the actual fight. Or you can choose the kind of scenes at the end of the Valladolid game, the away match, when the fans and the players just kind of forgot that there was a kind of other world and they're just celebrating their glory together. It was a great moment and a kind of really good match where Vidal took the lead early and then obviously Correa and then Suarez just finished them off. And it was such a great match as well because the stakes were so high for Vidal as well. Their kind of survival was on the line. And then the other answer for me is kind of a recent memory, which might not be like the kind of match of the season, but I just thought it was a nice moment. Was kind of Atletico scraping through the group stage away to Porto, kind of the last minute counter-attacking goal by Depor to kind of finish them off. Then all the technical staff and the subs and the players and the pitch came together. It was kind of a nice moment, and it was also kind of a nice moment because Atletico have made great memories in Europe, and that was kind of another one for me to kind of cherish, I guess.
Yeah, the Porto game was the only redeeming thing that Atleti achieved in December. So, it was a very nice moment. So, I think the favorite match is very obvious, as you said, the comeback against Osasuna with the 10 minutes left, Atleti behind, Real have already won their game. First off, Lodi scores an absolute rocket to the roof of the goal, and then obviously Suarez with the finish right at the death. So I think this is not just the match of the year. I think it'll just remain in Atleti's history forever, and it'll just be a talking point for so many years. I think one of the other games I would say was very significant this season. It's weird seeing as how Atleti lost that game, but I think the game against Liverpool at home, which ended in a 3-2 loss, Atleti performed excellently, and they outplayed Liverpool for so many parts of the game. They were close to pulling another comeback after being 2-0 down. Obviously, you know, to early goals for Liverpool. But then we saw a very amazing response from the players, and you know, got two goals back, was very close to getting a third. But then, you know, unfortunately, that red card for Griezmann, which, you know, was very, it wasn't intentional and, you know, very unfortunate for any players to happen. So, and, you know, late in the game, then Salah scores the winning penalty for Liverpool. But I think just looking at that game, you just got the feeling of, you know, the Atleti of old, the underdogs playing, pushing above their weight against one of the, you know, one of the red hot teams in Europe. So I think while it wasn't, you know, I wouldn't say it's the best match of the year, but I think it's up there with the, you know, my favorite moments of the year.
Yeah, I think. I think it was also just nice because you kind of saw glimpses of what this squad can do. I think, you know, at times in the game, we've really kind of pushed it to Liverpool and we looked really good. And I think Griezmann scoring those two really good goals as well was a nice moment. I can't quite remember the exact, but I think that might have been his first goal since back. I don't know. Maybe I'm getting that wrong, but it was something like, it was pretty significant to see him, the reception his goals got as well. That was nice, you know, his two goals in quick fire. But yeah, and I mean, it was another great Champions League night, which is kind of, you know, I think Atletico Madrid do kind of thrive upon these, and Simeone does as well. You know, the crowd, the atmosphere, some of Atletico's greatest moments have come under the lights in a Champions League stadium. And that kind of was another memory to add to that.
Very well. And, you know, we did talk about Cholo. 10 years it has been since Atleti hired him, and what an incredible turnaround he was able to achieve in those 10 years. You know, can you please give us a few words about the man?
It's just crazy. I just think, yeah, his impact is so huge. And I think a lot of people, rightly, because it is so significant, kind of really find it hard to grasp how important he's been. But I think a lot of people will probably have seen it, but Robbie Dunn put a post on Twitter kind of visualising Atletico's last 10 managers and their kind of points per game, and Simeone was quite clearly just well above the rest. I think his points per game was something like 2.01, the second was Aguirre at 1.66, and you can kind of you see the levels there, and you see the impact he's had on the players and the fans. You know, he's been able to build this kind of aura around him. And, you know, I think it does add, you know, I think in all of his full seasons in La Liga, Atletico has never finished with below 70 points, which since they were promoted to the first division in 2002, they never did. So it's just kind of the kind of always kind of night and day, black and white between pre-Simeone and after Simeone. It's incredible, really.
Yeah, and another very valuable thing, you did say that, you know, Atleti hadn't achieved 70 points. They also never finished in the top three. But, you know, Simeone never finished outside of the top three, never finished with less than 70 points. Not only is this, you know, incredible to achieve, you know, in one year or, you know, 2 or 3 years, but to achieve it in 9 full seasons, it's just incredible stability that he brought to the club. And that's, you know, something that flies under the radar of most people, you know, just how much stability this brought, and, you know, how much you know, with Atleti's, you know, obviously financial situations, obviously they've never been the best at running the club, Gilmarín and Cerezo. With all those, you know, setbacks in mind, it's just unreal that Simeone took a side that was, I think, 5 or 4 points above the relegation zone, and, you know, made them reached two Champions League finals, made them win two leagues in the Messi and Ronaldo era. So, I mean, at the risk of sounding redundant, but you just can't really do justice. You can't do the man justice. And I think the greatest thing you can do about him is just listing his achievements and, you know, just looking in awe at what an incredible career he's had at the club, both as a player and as a manager. So
I think, just to quickly add, I think Sid Lowe put it really well when the Super League stuff came out, is that I think he, this is a rough paraphrase, but his general idea was, you know, if Simeone wasn't the manager, there's no way possible that Atletico would be involved in this sort of group of elite clubs breaking away. And that is true. Like, his entire success has kind of rebuilt Atletico as this elite club. It feels weird when they don't get through to the round of 16 in Champions League. It feels weird when they don't finish in the top three. It feels weird when they don't at least push Barca and Real Madrid, whereas 10 years ago, that would have been completely fantasy talk. It really is kind of, the transformation is just so evident.
Absolutely. So, yeah, 10 years of Cholo here for 10 more, 20 more, 30 more, you know, whatever the man, whatever the man demands, just give it to him. Simeone, I think, if not the biggest legend, then definitely one of the three biggest legends in Atleti's history.
Of course. Give the man whatever he needs. He's done everything. He's done everything to deserve it.
Absolutely. So that's a wrap on the Partido podcast for this year. We thank you so very much for all the support we got all throughout the year. And obviously, thank you so much, Michael, for joining me today.
Pleasure. And I hope all listeners have had a great year and hopefully more success in the future. Happy New Year.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you as well, and to all the listeners. Thank you for sticking with us today and throughout the year. And remember, nunca dejes de creer. See you in the next episode.